Welcome to the Shir Maral Guralia in Parsha Shvav, and I guess welcome to Sefer Shvav. Towards the end of the Sedra, after the Ribono Shel Olam convinces, as it were, Moshe Rabbeinu to go down to Mitzrayim and to take on the task of redeeming the Jewish people, Pasuk says, Parak Dalet, Pasuk Chav, Vayikach Moshe Ishto V'Yesbono, Moshe took his wife and children, he caused them to ride on the donkey. Then he returns to the land of Egypt. So Rashi over here points out that the direct article is used with regard to the word chamor, donkey. It doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu saddled up a donkey. It says he saddled up the donkey. Sounds like we're talking about a specific donkey. So that's Rashi, Chamor HaMiyuchad. Yes, indeed. It's not just any old donkey. It's the donkey. Capital T, capital D. Which donkey are we talking about? Hu HaChamor, Shechovash Avram Lakedas Yitzchak. This is the same donkey that Avram Avinu saddled up when he went off to bind Yitzchak and Har Moriah. The Husha Otsid Melech HaMashiach Ligolos Olav. And not only that, but this very same donkey is the donkey that's going to appear with Moshiach, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Ami Verochev Al Chamor, that Moshiach is described as a humble person riding upon a donkey. This is the self-same donkey, Avram's donkey, Moshe's donkey, Melech HaMashiach's donkey. This is it. That's why Yahibel al Hachamor wasn't just any old donkey that he chose for the task. It's a donkey that has a pedigree and a history associated with it. In case, you know, we weren't sufficiently impressed with the pedigree of this particular donkey, the Maral over here adds another quotation from Chazal, this time the Pirkei of Rabbi Eliezer, which adds to this idea of the specialness of this donkey. The Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, Perek Lamed Aleph, writes that Hu HaChamor Shenivra Bein Hashmoshos, that this donkey that carried Avram Avinu, that carried Moshe's family, and that will carry Melech HaMashiach, was created at the very beginning of time, Bein Hashmoshos, during the twilight period between the end of Friday and the beginning of Shabbos. Right, we know that the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that there were various semi-supernatural things, you know, special things that were created during that final twilight period as the 6 days of creation were waning and Shabbos was beginning. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos does not list off the chamor, the donkey, which was rode by Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach. But the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer says that was one of the special things that was also created at that time. Wow, so this is quite a donkey. We make a couple of calculations. This is a rather old donkey. Right? He makes the tortoises look like young whippersnappers. Right? So what are we to make of this medrash? I mean, again, this is an example of a medrash that on the surface seems strange, seems very, very odd. The same donkey created Ben Ashmashos at the beginning of creation, and why should it be so important that Avram ride on this donkey, that Moshe ride on this donkey, that Melech HaMashiach is going to ride on this donkey? Just to add in one way of thing, we know that, you know, Rashi describes his role as a commentator to try to bring Shatim, you know, to try to bring, you know, straightforward interpretations. He's, you know, he brings midrashim that fit in with the simple interpretation of the psukim, but you know, he's not looking to bring every medrash under the sun. Sadly, Rashi feels that this interpretation that we're dealing with the donkey with the pedigree is something that fits into the pshat. It's really just it comes out from the simple interpretation of the psukim themselves. Again, the fact that the direct article, the hey ayudia, is used with the word chamor, it's not just that he put them on a donkey, he put them on the donkey, right? So apparently Rashi feels that this is, you know, not sort of a off the beaten track medrash. This is a very basic medrash that works with the Pshat and the Pasuk as well. How do we fit all of this together? So the Maharal talks about this at length, and you know, this is of one piece with a philosophy the Maharal has in general. The Maharal strove very mightily to take midrashim that on the surface seem just bizarre or fantastic, and to help us understand how there were certain concepts and ideas that were being expressed by Chazal by way of these midrashim. You know, they're not just telling us strange facts, you know, that you never would have thought of otherwise. Here I actually want to start at the very end of the remarks of the Maharal on this pasuk, because I think, you know, he actually ends off his remarks with something that I think is just important to bring out in the very, very beginning. Right at the Maharal, the very end of his remarks, Ein hapirush shachamar hayachai kol kach. I want you to know from the beginning, what Chazal are not saying is that this was one donkey who lived an extraordinarily long lifetime. Right? Now again, the simple pshat in Chazal is that this donkey was created at the very beginning of time, essentially, and had incredible longevity. You know, how do you get to be a very old donkey? I don't know, you eat a lot of yogurt, do a lot of exercise, I don't know what you do exactly, but that's not the pshat, that's not the interpretation. It's not the case. It's just literally the same donkey. So what does it mean? Rather, says the Maharal, at the very beginning of time, it was ordained that what's represented by this idea of the donkey would come to fruition three times in our history. Right, so the way the Maharal understands the Medrash of Chazal, it may very well be that, you know, the physical donkey rode by Avraham Avinu was not the same physical donkey rode by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is not going to be the same physical donkey which is going to be utilized by the Melech HaMoshiach, but all three of these donkeys point to a common theme, and that theme was instilled in the world from the beginning of time. Right? So right off the bat, the Maharal was already telling us, you know, you have to read this medrash not 100% literally. The medrash is driving at something. What exactly is it that the medrash is driving at with this idea of the donkey with the pedigree? So let's start going through this Maharal. It's a little bit of a long Maharal. But I think the ideas are very, very important. Perek Aleph of the Chof. Yesh l'shol, ma inyin chashivas hachamar hazeh mishar chamar v'sherachav alav Avraham v'moshe v'moshiach. What makes this chamar, this donkey of Avraham, Moshe, and Melech HaMoshiach such an important donkey? How do you get to be such an important donkey? The yesh l'shol gam king, also, what is it that would give a donkey created at the very end of the period of creation, during the Ben Hashmashos, the twilight between creation and that first Shabbos, what would give this donkey such an unusual status? So he writes, Das Chazal Kach. There's a common denominator between Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Melech HaMoshiach, which no other human being quite had. There's something they all possess which is unique to the three of them. And they all had a Milo, they all had a certain positive character trait which was unique to the three of them. Let's start with Avram. Ki Avram timsa hisrominus ugdulaso al kol hanimsa'im. Avram Avinu was raised up and was revered by all of humanity. Shenemar eslo ki av hamon goyim nefaticha. When Avram Avinu was named Avraham, as opposed to Avram, he's told, you will be the father of all nations, v'hu av l'chol ha'olam. in the words of the Yerushalmi in Masechta Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, Avraham Avinu is the father of all of humanity. Lo kamo shtar ha'avos shelo hayu avos rak liyisrael. And in that way, says the Maharal, Avraham Avinu is different than Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yitzchak and Yaakov are the patriarchs of the Jewish people. But Avraham Avinu, in some way, is considered to be the patriarch of the whole world. We witness the fact that when somebody converts, so they are referred to as so-and-so ben Avraham Avinu, right? We don't say ben Yaakov Avinu, ben Yitzchak Avinu. He somehow related back to Avraham Avinu. All of humanity views Avraham as the patriarch. And in fact, Avraham Nikra Avraham Angoyim, Avraham Avinu not only had a degree of sovereignty, if you will, over the world, but he even had a certain degree of sovereignty over the celestial world, over the heavens. As the Pasuk says, God took Avraham Avinu outside, and he said, you know, look at the stars, right? As numerous as the stars are, that's how numerous your descendants will be. The Darshu Chazal Shibiel Lomalam and Akochavim. Chazal said, what does it mean they took him out outside? He took Avraham Avinu literally and placed him up over the stars. In other words, there's a message which was conveyed to Avraham Avinu, according to the Maharal, is that you, Avraham Avinu, have a certain power which even goes beyond the natural. In other words, you have a certain sovereignty over humanity. You have even a certain degree of sovereignty over the natural world. You know, you're able to accomplish things that go beyond what should be normally expected in the course of nature. What does that refer to? Of course, you know, we know that Avraham Avinu was not really naturally capable of having children. Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with this ability to have children that was linked to the change of name, that he became Avraham as opposed to Avram. And that's symbolic of the Maharal of a more general idea that Avraham Avinu again was raised up and exalted even over nature itself. You know, there were things that he was able to accomplish that went beyond the bounds of nature. So Chaim Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Hayav Yisrael Mut Hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu similarly was raised up over nature in a similar fashion. So I never the Moshe Gamkein that say Yadcha Al HaShomayim. V'darshu Chazal V'viu Rashi V'parshus Bo'eiro. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing the Makos down on the Mitzrayim, on the Egyptians, he's told by Hashem, Nitei Yodcha al Hashomayim, lift up your hands. The way we normally translate is, lift up your hands to the heavens. Right? But that's not exactly what the Pasuk says. It doesn't say Nitei Yodcha Lashomayim, or El Hashomayim. It says Nitei Yodcha al Hashomayim, lift up your hands over the heavens. And Rashi there in Parshas Vayera, next week's Parsha, spoiler alert, Rashi next week's Parsha says that Moshe Rabbeinu again was literally picked up over the heavens and held to staff over the heavens in order to be able to bring down the Makkah. Now again, what does that mean? Why is that necessary? Because his brother is just a magician. He wants to show that, you know, he can pick up Moshe Rabbeinu, he can levitate Moshe Rabbeinu very, very high. Again, says the Maharal, is symbolic of the degree to which Moshe Rabbeinu had mastery over nature. He was able to control nature in supernatural fashions, much the same way that Avraham Avinu was able to defy nature, but Moshe Rabbeinu was also able to defy nature. There was the sovereignty that they had even over the natural elements. Umelech HaMoshiach hu misroneim od. And you should understand that when Melech HaMashiach comes, he will have this mastery over nature to an even greater extent than Avram and Moshe. Shekein Darshus Chazal B'Tanchuma, as the Medrash and the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Toldos. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Beis, Hine Yaskil Avdi Yorum V'Nisav V'Govah, my servant will be very successful. It's a reference to Melech HaMashiach. My servant Mashiach will be very successful. He will be uplifted and raised up and very high. So says the Medrash, Yaru min Avraham, the Nisa min Moshe, the Gavah min Malachi Asharis. that Melech HaMashiach will be uplifted more so than Avraham Avinu, more so than Moshe Rabbeinu, more so than the angels themselves. Right? So, again, what does that mean? Apparently, what the Medrash means, according to the Maharal, is that when Moshiach comes, not only will he be a great leader, but the same kinds of mastery over nature, the ability to do things that are supernatural, that define nature, which characterized Avraham and Moshe, that is going to be found in Melech HaMashiach to an even greater extent, where, again, whatever this means exactly, this, you know, the power of the Melech HaMashiach to defy nature, to go, you know, to engage the supernatural, is going to exceed even that power granted to the Malachi Asharis, even to the angels themselves, to be able to go beyond nature. Right? So again, that's the Medrash Tanchuma. But we see that the Medrash Tanchuma links Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach in all possessing this ability to defy nature, to control nature, and to bend nature to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Havein Ve'lomo Zochu Zal Avram V'chein Moshe V'lo Shlomo Ki Eilu Shnayim B'lvav Yuchadim Yisramu Shlo Amiti K'mo Shetim So B'shneim She'en L'malo Malo Min Ha'olam V'chololo. Right? That's why in this collection of personalities, you know, where the Medrash links together Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach, we don't find any reference to Shlomo HaMelech. Now, why would you find reference to Shlomo HaMelech? Well, Shlomo HaMelech is described as being an incredible king, and, you know, we even find Chazal... What's that? So we even find that Chazal and Gemara and Sanhedrin say that Molach Shlomo al ha'elyonim. Shlomo HaMelech had a degree of rule or sovereignty over the celestial realm. Again, whatever that means exactly, we find, you know, Midrashim that talk about Shlomo HaMelech and his control over demons. You know, Ashmedar, the king of demons, was, you know, was subservient to Shlomo HaMelech. But with all of that, the ability of Avram and Moshe to subjugate nature apparently goes even far beyond that of Shlomo HaMelech. Right? They were really in a category by themselves. And Melech HaMashiach is going to, you know, surpass even Avram and Moshe in their ability to subjugate nature. The tzaddikim mechulakim v'madregas mechulakos. You should know that tzaddikim in this world, says the Maharal, have different lots and different abilities. Yesh zochel madregas zos v'yesh lacheres. Some tzaddikim are blessed with a certain ability, a certain madrega, a certain level of being able to do things. Others may not have that particular power, that particular ability. Their strengths lie in other directions. You know, the different strokes for different tzaddikim folks. In other words, different tzaddikim have different areas of focus. So I call the Shir HaElokim. Everything is based on what God meets out to that particular tzaddik. So, to take an example, Tinsa, Ki Yaakov Hoya Tzaddik Gomer, Asher Karsel Chayim Bechashis Hayishlach Ma'alosho Madrigosa. Yaakov Avinu was a perfect tzaddik. The Tinsa Shahaya Kol Yomav Bitzara Gidolo L'Me'od. And yet we find that in terms of a physical existence, Yaakov Avinu for most of his life was pretty miserable. You know, you have a lot of sorrows, a lot of different, a lot of issues. Those of you here Shabbos, we spoke about how Yaakov Avinu, of all the others, really suffered the most. Avram, Yitzchak, you know, I mean, their lives, by and large, you know, were pretty, you know, worked out pretty well. Yaakov Avinu went from one suffering to another suffering. The most Amar, the Tel Shakai, Yisra'amar Le'olam Odai, Yomar Le'saros Odai. Right? Yaakov Avinu expresses himself as, you know, seeking the help of Kel Shakai. Why is God called Shakai? Because may God say with Sorosai, may God say concerning my sorrows, die, it's enough. Kilo Shokat min Urof. Yaakov Avinu didn't have a dull moment, you know, from the time that he was a kid. In other words, everything with Yaakov Avinu was always, you know, from one crisis into another crisis. Kilo Avram, Koyolo Vigulo Vishramus. And yet, Avraham Avinu, you know, his whole life, you could say most of his life, I guess, being thrown to a fiery furnace, isn't necessarily, you know, a picnic, right? But again, at the same time, he comes out unscathed. So, you know, it works out well in the end. Avraham Avinu, his life is about royalty. His life is about sovereignty. And Chazal say that the world, the kings of the world got together, and they coronated Avraham Avinu as being their king. Right. So in other words, there was a certain recognition. You see, even in the Pesach and the Pesukim, right, when Avraham Avinu comes to bury Sarah, so the Chitin tell him, the Si Elokim Atah B'Socheinu, you know, you're a prince of God among us. You know, they treated Avraham Avinu like royalty. So you'll ask the question, says the Maharal, why is it that Avraham Avinu was treated like royalty, and Yaakov Avinu suffered? He went from crisis to crisis throughout his entire life. Does it mean Avraham Avinu was a bigger tzaddik than Yaakov Avinu? No, says the Maharal. Because Rav has a different plan for every tzaddik in the world, and you know, some tzaddikim, their life mission involves suffering. Some tzaddikim, their life mission involves, you know, a more royal kind of approach. The Chayyim Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is described, according to many readings of the Pasuk, as a melech, a Yidishurim melech. He overpowered Pyro, the biggest emperor in the world at that time, the Amate Sichon the Og. He overpowered Sichon and Og. The Chayyim Yiyyeh Melech HaMashiach Lo'asir V'Mehero V'Yomeinu Shekola Umos Nosin Shailo. When Mashiach comes also, he will be recognized and coronated by all the nations of the world. Because Teda Ze Hakol, Oz Tisbonein B'Mash Amufi Achamor Shirochav Lav Avram Hu Achamor B'Chule. When you understand the common denominator between Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach, that they all rule not only over humanity, but are able to rule over the very elements of nature themselves, that they have this ability, nature bows to them, and not vice versa, you'll understand what's meant by this idea of them riding, all riding upon the same donkey. He roi l'chol adas ki hori chiva, hu more al hisnasus v'romimus, ki aroche hu misnasei al behema. M'nei ki elu hoyo misromimim misnasim, kos v'hatara etzlov loshin rechiva, shohoyo misnasim b'ma'aloshon. The symbolism of riding on something is utter control over that thing that you're riding on, and utter sovereignty over the thing that you're riding on. Right? That's the metaphor of the idea of rechiva, of riding upon something. Right? So says the Maharal, the imagery of Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach riding on this chamor is that they have total control, mastery, and sovereignty over everything that the chamor represents. So what does the chamor represent? So the chamor, goes on the Maharal to explain, represents the idea of physicality, the physical world and everything that's associated with it. The following point is not made by the Maharal explicitly, but it fits in so beautifully to the Maharal's idea, but I think you have to mention it. Right. The very word chamor is related to chomrius, which means that which is physical, chomer, the form, the matter, which the physical world is made up of. A chamor represents the very idea of physicality and the physical world. Avraham, Moshe, and Melech HaMashiach all had total mastery and control over and subdued the physical world around them. Again, you know, nature bowed to them and not vice versa. That's the imagery of Rochev ala Hamar, of riding upon the donkey, that they utterly were able to control that which, you know, the average human being is unable to control. Right. So it's important to mention the following. So the donkey that Bilam rode on was an Osham. It was a she donkey. I remember I went to a drasha a few years ago, and you know, the rabbi was giving the drasha, was talking about, was Hasvalok, he was talking about the exchange between Bilam and the donkey, and he kept referring to the donkey as he, and it wasn't the drush in Hebrew, it was the drush in English, right? So I was tempted to stand up and say, no, it was a female donkey. You can't refer to a female donkey as he. I mean, I say in America today you can, I don't know, but that's not a good thing, right? It's a she. But that idea that, okay, you say, okay, it's a male donkey, a female donkey, you know, it might have to be enough. You know, so much of the representation of the chamor as being physicality is tied into the very word chamor, the way we're saying that it's chomrius, that it's chomer. You don't have that same play on words with the asham. And the truth is, the asham, right, the she donkey in the story of Bilam, really gets the better of Bilam. You can't really describe, Bilam as riding on the donkey, even though he does physically for a certain period of time. First of all, the she donkey casts Bilam off at a certain point, right? But it's clear that Bilam is not in control of the donkey, just from the story itself. The donkey is in control of him. And that's really the opposite of everything the Maharal is bringing out in the relationship between Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMoshiach and their respective donkeys. Their riding on the donkey indicates the idea that they are totally in control and have mastery over that which represents the physical world, and the physical world has no control over them whatsoever.
When you spoke about happiness, when you spoke about being a king, it seems like it's a separate thing, because, there are very unhappy, powerful kings, and there were very happy middle-class people.
Nobody said the word happy. Right? In other words,
Yaakov had a bad life and Avram had a good life.
Yaakov had a life of suffering. Avram had a life of sovereignty. I'm leaving it up to you to decide whether that's good or bad. But Avram had a life where he was recognized, as a sovereign by all the people around him who had control. Yaakov Avinu was basically, he suffered at the hands of others throughout his life. Two very different experiences, but again, I'm not using the words good or bad, but there were two very, very different experiences that the two of them had in life. What's that? Right, no, he basically said to Paro, by the way, I think, one can argue that statement to Paro is not necessarily meant as a complaint. It could be meant just as a description. I just want you to know, I had a hard life, right? In other words, it's a fact, it's not complaining about it, but it's a fact that I've had a hard life, over these past 130 years. Okay, so what we've explained, and we'll pick up the after Meiriv, is, again, based on the Maharal, this idea of the commonality of Avram, Moshe, and Melech HaMoshiach, they're ruling over nature, their sovereignty over nature, in addition to over people. The symbolism of them riding on the donkey, this idea that the donkey represents the physical world, and they have this complete mastery over the physical world. What does it mean that the chamor was created, Ben Ashmashos, that the donkey in question was created at the very end of the 6 days of creation, right before going into Shabbos? We'll pick up after Ma'ariv, we'll add that last little twist to this piece. And again, we walk away with a very deepened understanding of what Rashi is trying to tell us on this passage. Okay, so we're doing the second part of the Shir Maral Gurarie and Tasha Shmos. The Maral was trying to understand the statement in Rashi, again quoting from Chazal, that the Chamor, which Moshe Rabbeinu used, the donkey which Moshe Rabbeinu used on his way down to Egypt, was the same donkey which had been utilized by Avram Avinu on his way to the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, and will be the same donkey which will be used by Melech HaMoshiach, and in addition to that, the statement of the Tirkei Rebbe Elazar, that that very same donkey was created Ben Ashmashos during the twilight period of after the 6 days of creation were done on the way into that first Shabbos. Now that explains that, first of all, it's not meant in a totally literal sense. We don't mean it's literally the same donkey, but that the donkey, you know, carried a similar message for Avram, for Moshe, Melech HaMoshiach. And the message is as follows, that Avram, Moshe, Melech HaMoshiach were all characterized, will be characterized, by their ability to have sovereignty over the entire world, as well as even control over nature. And the Chamor represents the physical world. The Chamor, again, we said, the Maharal doesn't quite say it, but it fits in with the Maharal, the Chamor is, the very word Chamor is related to the idea of Chomer, Chomrius, physicality, the physical world. Riding on the Chamor, the act of riding is symbolic of total control over something, total mastery over something. So if Avraham Moshe and the Melech HaMoshiach all rode on the Chamor, it's symbolic of the fact that they have total mastery over not only humanity, they have total mastery over nature. They were able to bend, nature bend to their will and not vice versa. And that's, you know, the deeper idea which is being conveyed by Avraham Moshe and Melech HaMoshiach riding on this Chamor. What, yeah?
Can we flesh out a little bit what that means to have? What's the manifestation of having power over nature? I mean, wouldn't there be a distinction between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, or would they be similar? They had similar powers over nature.
Basically, the ability to create supernatural miracles, right? Something certainly associated with Moshe Rabbeinu, something that we associate with the Melech HaMoshiach, that will be able to, you know, be able to bring about supernatural miracles. And Avraham Avinu defies nature. In other words, nature dictates that Avraham Avinu should not be able to have, capable of having children. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, essentially on his behalf, changes nature and, you know, enables him to defy nature in that particular way. So what's left to explain is the Bein HaShemashos. Why is it significant from the point of view of the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that this, you know, primordial donkey, this donkey of pedigree is also a primordial donkey, that it comes, was created at the beginning of time and during that twilight period where we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos lists off other things, not the donkey, but lists off other things which are, you know, somewhat unusual or supernatural in nature that were created at that time. Right, so Bilam's donkey was a she donkey. It was an also. Right, not to be confused with the Chamor. Right? Okay. So that is what I can say at this point. I'm on tape. But, okay. So, let's see. We'll see. Nivra Chamor Bein HaShemashos. That's why all of this is why the Chamor was created. This Chamor was created during that twilight period. Because Kimitnei Shahayt Rechiva Zos Miuchedes. Because this whole riding on the Chamor has symbolic significance, Urechiva Olam HaTeva, it represents the control over the world of nature. And again, as we explained, Avraham, Moshe, and Melech HaMoshiach ride over the idea of nature. I was just thinking now, in English, when you are able to go against the establishment, we call it overriding. Right, so it's just interesting. It's very much the same idea that the Maharal is bringing out in Hebrew. Right, that they're riding on top of the donkey means that they have the ability to override nature. They have the ability to override the laws of nature itself. It'd be interesting to look into the etymology of override, but it could be that it has the very same, the very same ideas associated with that word in English, the same way the Maharal is bringing it out in the Hebrew. You know, to ride on top of something means that you have mastery and control, you know, over that object. For that reason, because this represents their ability to override nature, it makes sense also that the Chamor, that the very donkey, should be something somewhat otherworldly, something which is not quite entirely part of the natural order. If they were just riding on any old donkey, so that doesn't necessarily indicate that they had the ability to override nature. I mean, what every guy who rides on a donkey is symbolically overriding nature. That's not true. what would give the symbolism of their riding on the donkey, the notion that symbolically they were overriding nature, would be if the donkey itself was something somewhat otherworldly, something somewhat from an other world. The Nashim is still very Ben Hashmashos, therefore, since the donkey came from that twilight period, as opposed to things that were created during the 6 days of the creation, the significance of all those things that were created during twilight, going into that first Shabbos, those are all things that are a little bit out of the box, a little bit different than the norm when it comes to, you know, the natural order of things. Again, if you think of the things that are listed off in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, you know, Pihasam, Pihazer, Piharas, you know, all of those things which are, you know, represent the supernatural miracles which are described in the Chumash and elsewhere. So, you know, they're part of nature, but they're not quite part of nature. So, Ben Hashmashos is the very time of day, is the time of day which is part of the day, but not quite part of the day. Right. So it's part of the day, but it's also not part of the day. In other words, it's the part of day where the day is already fading. So these items as well that are created in Hashmashos, they're part of nature, but they're not quite part of nature. So by using such a chamor, and again, as Right. It's symbolic. So the nature of symbolism is that, you know, it's symbolic. So, you know, by utilizing a chamor which was created by Hashmashos, and again, as we pointed out at the beginning, the Maral ends up his piece by saying, I don't mean to say that literally this one chamor was created by Hashmashos and it stuck around, you know, for centuries, you know, that all of these people were writing upon it. What I mean is, says the Maral, what Chazal mean, is that during that first Ben Hashmashos, the power was invested in creation for this chamor to come about, which, the way I understand that, again, I'm not sure, but I think what the Maral means is, you know, it could be in point of fact, this was just a regular donkey that they were riding. But as describing it as the chamor that was created Ben Hashmashos, what Chazal is saying in the Pirkei of Rebbe Lezer is that, you know, hint, this is a chamor that has symbolic significance, and not just literal significance that we're talking about a donkey, which they happen to be riding. By describing it as the chamor that was created by Hashmashos, it's a way of saying that, like all those other things that were created by Hashmashos, this is more than meets the eye. You know, the Bilam's donkey is more than meets the eye, the ground that swallowed up Karach is more than meets the eye, so this chamor is also, you know, more than meets the eye in this particular fashion. And the day Sheilu Shlosha, Hayurochvim Alateva Legamri, Hashihil Lamailo Helokis, because these three individuals overrode nature entirely to the point where they had a Maila Elokis, where they had almost like a divine power to them. The time of Ben Hashmashos is a time for things that are a little bit out of the box, a little bit different than the norm of that which is part of nature. And, you know, for that reason, the designating of this chamor as something that was created by Hashmashos is a way of saying, you know, they weren't just Sam riding on a donkey, they were, you know, they're riding on this donkey, this special donkey, meant that the same way the donkey was a little bit out of the box, the same way the donkey was a little bit removed from nature, so too these three individuals, Avraham, Moshe, and Melech HaMoshiach, have the power to do things that are out of the natural norm, that go beyond nature itself. What I think is just interesting, you know, and I'm not 100% sure how to explain it, but it's just interesting to contemplate. Moshiach is described as riding on the donkey. Avraham Avinu is described as we saddled up the donkey, and presumably he rode on the donkey. Moshe Rabbeinu was actually not described as riding on the donkey. Moshe Rabbeinu was described as talking down his family on the donkey. That is accurate. into the Maral's whole explanation of this phenomena, right? In other words, you're telling me that Sipora and Gershom and Eliezer, they had the power to override nature in this kind of way. It seems a little bit strange. What's that? Okay, so that works for his wife. It doesn't work for his kids, right? So, you know, perhaps, again, I'm not sure, you know, the Maral, interestingly enough, doesn't discuss it, but perhaps one could suggest as follows. You know, if the whole idea of rechiva, of riding over here, implies mastery or control, so, you know, if I can not only ride myself on top of something, but even have the degree of control where I can place others on top of something, that's even, in certain respects, an even greater degree of control. I can bend nature, not only for myself, but I can bend nature for others. And the truth is, if you look at the career of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's exactly what he does. Avram Avinu has nature bent for himself. Avram Avinu was impotent, and you know he had nature bent on his behalf that he was now able to have children. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just perform miracles for himself. Moshe Rabbeinu performed miracles on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. He overturned nature for others. So in a sense, the symbolism of Vayarkive Malach Hamor, he took his family, and Klal Yisrael, of course, are Moshe Rabbeinu's extended family, he took his family, and he enabled his family to be able to defy the laws of nature. That actually is an apt description of Moshe Rabbeinu's career and what he was able to accomplish, you know, throughout his life. So, yes, I'm not sure how it fits in with Malach Hamor. There he's called Roche Malach Hamor. Right, so perhaps the supernatural miracles that he's going to perform are going to be for him and him alone. Again, what are the supernatural miracles that Melech HaMashiach is going to perform? It would seem that they're mostly in the line of establishing that he's Melech HaMashiach. Right? In other words, the accomplishments of Melech HaMashiach are mostly things that are stupendous, but are more along the natural line of things. In other words, you know, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the defeating of the armies of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, you know, Lav Davka, that those are going to happen in necessarily supernatural fashions, but you know, to the extent to which he's going to do Oso Sumovsim, he's going to perform miracles, that may be more just to establish himself, you know, to give himself some credibility as being Melech HaMashiach. Maybe that's why he's described as Roche Malach Hamor, as opposed to being Marki Vacherim Malach Hamor. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. I hear the question, I don't know. Right. So I don't know. I mean, the truth is, the Sukkim and Yeshayo that describe Melech HaMashiach seem to describe things that are very similar to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Hidrich Pana Olin, right? In other words, he's going to also split the sea the same way that the sea was split by Yom Suf. So again, I don't know. I don't know how to relate it. Right. So maybe the Pasuk wants to hedge its bets with regard to Melech HaMashiach and miracles. That's why he's Rochev Alach Hamor as opposed to be Markiv Alach Hamor. I don't know. I'm putting this out there. I'm not 100% sure.
Right, you why, like,
Chamor,
not a horse?
Yes, Chamor is the idea of Chomrius, of physicality. That's the representation of it. Okay, but, yeah. Tiha also. That's not just Chamor. That's Dillam's. That's Dillam's. That's Dillam's donkey. Unrelated to this. Yeah. No. So this Chamor, the particular revelation that says the Chamor was created in Ashmashos is not in agreement with the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Right? But he also over there is Dillam's donkey, which is a different thing. No, I don't know. I'm not taking a stance on that. You know, but the Chamor was created in Ashmashos. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Sashem next Wednesday night.